Actually, yes, okay, we can chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The verse we're reading is a Bhagavatam verse, but it's quoted by Lord Chaitanya also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service. And Lord Chaitanya explains the verse to Sanatana Goswami. So we can also chant the invocation for Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Satyam disati artitam artito ninam. Naiv artito yat puna artita yata. Sayam vidate bhajatam anichyatam. Ichcha padanam nijapada pallavam. Satyam, it is true. Dishyati, he awards. Artitam, that which is desired. Artita, being requested. Nrinam, by human beings. Na, not. Eva, certainly. Artada, giving desired things. Yat, which. Puna, again. Artita, request. Yata, from which. Swayam, himself. Vidyate, he gives. Bhajatam, of those engaged in devotional service. Anichyatam, even though not desiring. Ichcha padanam, covering all other desires. Nijapada pallavam, the shelter of his own lotus feet. Whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause someone to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. When one has other desires, but engages in the Lord's service, Krishna forcibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet, where one will forget all other desires. Look. Very crucial point you raised. It says where one will get all other desires. Who wrote that? Huh? That's what you were thinking, huh? Yeah. t-shirt business will really expand. please change it. Forget all other desires. You see that case? A little misprint on the bottom line there. Slight change in meaning there. All right. This verse is from the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. There's no purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya is explaining this verse in context to Sanatana Goswami. So we'll go to the Bhagavatam, where there is a purport. The devotees mentioned in the previous verse approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with material motives. But this verse explains how such devotees are saved from those desires. Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, advises, Akama Sarvakamo Va Moksha Kama Udaladi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Padam. You know this verse? Krishna? Very good. Whether one is free from all material desires, is full of material desires, or desires to become one with the Supreme, he should engage in devotional service. In this way, not only will the devotee's desires be fulfilled, but the day will come when he'll have no other desire than to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. One who engages in the service of the Lord with some motive is called a sakam bhukta. And one who serves the Lord without any motives is called an akama bhukta. Krishna is so merciful that he turns a sakam bhukta into an akam bhukta. A pure devotee, an akam bhukta, who has no material motives, is satisfied simply to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter. Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate nadhikam tata. If one engages in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he does not want anything more. This is the highest stage of devotional service. The Lord is so kind even to a sakam bhakta, a motivated devotee, that he satisfies his desires in such a way that one day he becomes an akam bhakta. Dhruv Maharaj, for example, became a bhakta with the motive of getting a better kingdom than that of his father. But finally he became an akam bhakta and said to the Lord, Samin Tatotsmi Varangnayache. My dear Lord, I am very satisfied simply to serve your lotus feet. I do not want any material benefits. Sometimes it is found that a small child eats dirty things, but his parents take away the dirty things and offer him a sandesh or other sweetmeat. Devotees who aspire for material benedictions are compared to such children. The Lord is so kind that he takes away their material desires and gives them the highest benediction. Therefore, even for material motives, one should not worship anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must fully engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that all his desires will be fulfilled and at the end he can go back home, back to Godhead. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22, as follows. So this is the commentary given by Lord Chaitanya as he speaks to Sanatana Goswami. So Prabhupada in this purport in Bhagavatam takes different sentences from the Bengali discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami. Anyakami, a devotee may desire something other than service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Yadi kore Krishna bhajan. But if he engages in Lord Krishna's service, Nama Giteha Krishna Tare Dena Swacharam. Krishna gives him shelter at his lotus feet, even though he does not aspire for it. Krishna Kohe, the Lord says, Ama Bhaje, he is engaged in my service. Mage Vishoy Sukha, but he wants the benefits of material sense gratification. Amrita Chari Visha Mage. Such a devotee is like a person who asks for poison instead of nectar. E Bhada Murkha, that is his foolishness. Ami Vidya, but I am experienced. E Murke Vishoy Tene Dubo. Why should I give such a foolish person the dirty things of material enjoyment? Swacharanamrita, it would be better for me to give him shelter at my lotus feet. Vishoy Bulaiva, I shall cause him to forget all material desires. Kama Lagi Krishna Bhaje, if one engages in the service of the Lord for sense gratification, Poi Krishna Rase, the result is that he ultimately gets a taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Kama Chadi Dasa Hoite Hoi Abilase. He then gives up all material desires and wants to become an eternal servant of the Lord. Om Gyana Chimaranjasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadara Srivasavi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse deals with the magical issue of material desires. What to do about them in Krishna consciousness. Now, how do desires develop? As you all know, it is the natural function of the spirit soul to desire. Therefore, the question is, shall we have material desires or shall we have spiritual desires? Now, is it all a matter of you just sitting down in a lonely place and asking yourself, material desires or spiritual desires, what is it going to be? Have any of you ever done that? Yes. What's going to be my future? To the material side or to the spiritual side? That kind of contemplation is necessary, without a doubt. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if you're not sure what you should do for Krishna's service, he said, just go to a temple room when it's quiet and just sit down before the deities and chant some japa and meditate on the deities. And then your mind will clear and you'll be able to understand the solution. The example he gave is when you've dropped something in some water and in some shallow water and the water is stirred up, you have to wait till the water calms down and then you can see to the bottom and reach in and take up what you've lost. But similarly, if you want to find out what's the best thing to do with your life, you do need a circumstance of calmness. So Srila Prabhupada suggested, come into the temple room when no one's here during the day, sit before the deities, chant some japa, and just as your mind starts to calm, you'll be able to reach into your mind and pull out the essential understanding and answer. So please remember that. But still, this process of introspection is not the only component for your making the crucial decision. Should I go to the material side or should I go to the spiritual side? Half of your decision, no matter what you decide, will be based on your association. According to your association, you'll develop material desires or you'll develop desires for serving Krishna. Based on who you hang out with, you can develop desires for mystic powers, you can develop desires for karmic enjoyment, you can develop desires for merging into Brahman, or you can develop desires to serve Krishna, simply based on your association. Therefore, I'm always bringing up this point, as you know. You have to look at your association. Then you'll see where you're at. If you want to go to a higher level, upgrade your association. There are discrete ways of doing that in the world of bhakti. It's not that suddenly you turn to your old associates and say, forget it, you guys are in Maya. I'm going to a higher level. No. The way devotees do it is they just quietly kind of recede from one association and they expand with other associations. And this way, you know, you'll find that it all is quite smooth and painless. Because ultimately Krishna is the controller and Krishna is in everyone's heart. Sometimes it does happen that you have to make an abrupt decision not to associate with someone if they're really heading deep into Maya and you're becoming infected. Then you have to draw the line, without a doubt. Or someone responsible for you or who cares for you has to draw the line. Sometimes husbands have to tell their wives, don't associate with so-and-so or such-and-such a group. It's affecting our marriage, it's affecting your spiritual consciousness. But sometimes the wife has to say that to the husband. Or sometimes a senior Vaishnava has to tell devotees that, look, the association you're keeping is not inspiring you, it's bringing you down. This is all an accepted part of the world of bhakti. It's not like, you know, bad manners. It's not socially reprehensible. It is standard behavior in bhakti because so much of bhakti depends on your association. Therefore, sangha engineering is a legitimate activity in bhakti yoga. Don't have, you know, guilt and, well, what will everyone think if, you know, if I don't, you know, reveal my mind to such and such Prabhu anymore. Yeah, it's not like that. You'll find that the swirling currents in the ocean of bhakti very quickly adjust so that you can make your change. And every devotee has to be prepared to do that. If you plan on going back to Godhead, you have to be prepared to engineer the circumstances of your sangha. It is a very necessary skill. So please understand that. Once again, according to your sangha, your association, you'll develop desires for material enjoyment, desires for mystic powers, merging into Brahman. All that comes about by association or desires to serve Krishna. Now, when you contact a devotee who relishes serving Krishna's lotus feet, you become inspired. But what about our material desires? So many devotees are always scratching their head. I'm not a pure devotee. I like Krishna consciousness, but I just have these other desires. So many have that situation, whether they're born inside India or outside India. It's the question of, what about my other desires? I'm happy to worship Krishna to some extent, but I need another program also. The partition. Those of you who are knowledgeable about computers, you know you can partition your hard drive. Do people still do that, or is that it's old fashioned now? How many of you have partitioned hard drives? Anyone? Yes. 1, 2, 3. 4. Okay. So this example of partitioning you can see in the verse by Yamunacharya we discussed yesterday. He's asking, when will I serve Krishna constantly without any partition? When will everything on my hard drive just be service to Krishna, no other sectors in my life? So he's longing in that way. That is a genuine longing of the heart. We discussed that yesterday. So you'll point out, but yeah, we would like to aspire in that way, but we know so many of us have other desires. We do have a partition. In Indian culture, which is the remnant of Vedic culture, people expect that there are material desires. Therefore, parents, they want their children to be religious, but not too religious. Yes, you should attend a temple once a week. Whatever temple, worship somebody. Whatever's on the altar, then you offer puja. And whatever you do, don't become a sadhu, though. Well, that would destroy the family tradition. But yes, you should worship. Do puja. Somehow or other, you must do puja. To whomever, do puja. And it's expected that while you're doing your periodic puja, you have, you know, the main aspects of your life, which are economic development, family development, and the private gratification of the senses. In the Western world, there's a lot of psychological trouble about the partition, material desires. Westerners generally, when they take to Krishna consciousness, they go to one extreme or the other. One day they're a Paramahansa. Everything for Krishna, it's all Maya out there, only Krishna service. The next day, they're totally a bogey. They're totally lost in material enjoyment. Yeah, I know I said I would just serve Krishna, but that was last week. Times have changed. This is this week. So, those born outside of India, they have more psychological instability in dealing with these things called material desires. I remember back in the early days of ISKCON, in the early 70s, sometimes a brahmacharya would stay up all night in deep contemplation, introspection, making a major decision in his life. He would be pacing the floor and chanting japa loudly while we're trying to take rest. And then you wake up in the morning and he's still awake, you know, pacing the floor and chanting japa. And Prabhu, you've been up all night. What are you thinking about? It's only a half hour before Mangal Arati. And I said that I would make my decision then. I've been up all night. But Mangal Arati is the cutoff time. Either I decide to take sannyas or I decide to marry. I've got a half hour left to decide. That's the way it was in the early days. Just this instability, one extreme to the other. Because the culture for how to handle material desires is not there. Now, sometimes Prabhupada would protest that Indian culture, which is a remnant of Vedic culture, was too restrictive. Especially when he was trying to recruit assistants for preaching around the world. He said that before he came to the USA, he would go to wealthy, respectable people whose family had Vaishnavism in their line, and he would say, please, if you give me your son, I'll train him to be a first-class Vaishnava. He came to them as a sannyasi and asked. The reaction of the parents was, they were horrified. Prabhupada would paraphrase their reaction. Swamiji, don't touch our son. Don't touch him. He is meant for technology. Don't touch him. So Prabhupada would sometimes protest that the culture was too restrictive, that it just allowed a certain modicum or small degree of religiosity, and then the main thing was material development. In any case, what to do about these material desires. Sometimes devotees actually drop devotional service because they think, unconsciously, that Krishna is not expert in handling material desires. We think it's all our department. Okay, Jai Sri Krishna, Jai Radha Vallabha, all glories. But what about my material desires? That's my business. I gotta sort that one out myself. No one understands. My desires have never been had by anyone else before. They're unique. They're special. No one's gone through it before. Only me. No one understands. The senior devotees don't understand. Guru Maharaj doesn't understand. The deities, they understand, but they don't talk to me. So it's only a few friends that I have. They understand. And they agree with me. Krishna consciousness is nice, but you gotta fulfill your material desires separately because that's just the way it is. All my friends tell me that. So this is totally false. And the proof is this verse. Krishna is the most expert in dealing with material desires. But part of our rebellion against Krishna is that we think material desires, that's our department. Krishna, you're expert in Braj. Yes, you're expert in Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Narayan. But when it comes to material desires, we devotees have to handle it ourselves. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihan. Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. But when it comes to material desires, well, that's our department. We've got to work it out our way. So we push Krishna aside to a partition on our hard drive. That's your side of the partition, Krishna. Now on my side, I have to sort out the material desires my way. That's the only way. Now Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya quotes in this verse from Bhagavatam, Krishna is the most expert in dealing with the material desires of his devotees. As we read in the purport, Krishna is so merciful that he turns a sakam bhakta into an akam bhakta. That's mercy! But we're afraid, aren't we? Don't do it to me, Krishna. Leave me a sakam bhakta. Don't turn me into an akam bhakta. But that's Krishna's expertise. That's his mercy. But we're afraid of that mercy. Because as we languish in material desires, we think that it's very comfortable and necessary to just be submerged in material desires. We don't understand that Krishna is eager to pull us out of that by transforming us. The Lord's devotional service is transforming. So what if you have material desires? What does Shukadeva Goswami say in the second canto of Bhagavatam? Tivrena bhakti yogena. Yajeta purusha param. Serve Krishna with great focus and intensity. Never mind whether you're akam, free of all material desires, or you're sakam, full of unlimited material desires. So what if you're a mokshakama, lusty for liberation from material existence? Never mind. Tivrena bhakti yogena. If you are udaradi, if you have intelligence, superior intelligence, that's what you'll do. Knowing that Krishna is the most expert in transforming desires. This is the real mystic power of Yogeshvara, the master of all mystic potency. So don't think you're just left alone to fight off your material desires and struggle with them and Krishna is not involved. No. Krishna's expertise, his mystic power, is how to transform material desires in such a way that you forget about them. So let us read this verse again from today. For today. Whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause someone to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. When one has other desires, but engages in the Lord's service, Krishna forcibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet, where one will forget all other desires. That is mercy, to forget your material desires. That forgetfulness and remembrance is controlled by the Lord in the heart, Paramatma. Sarvasya cha vidhi sannivishto matasmitya gyanam apohanam cha. Krishna says, I'm in your heart, and from me comes all the knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Mercy for a devotee is that he forgets his material desires. That forgetfulness is the gift of Krishna. How does forgetfulness manifest for the non-devotee? The non-devotee forgets about Krishna's service. Reluctantly, Krishna grants that facility. Often you can see people who did nice service to Krishna, and then they just faded away, and now they're situated deep in the material energy, and they've lost all awareness of the glories of devotional service. That is because the Lord is reluctantly fulfilling their desires. You want to go away from me? All right, you can only do it if I help you. I reluctantly agree. I, from within your heart, will cause you to forget about my service. It can only happen with Krishna's help. This is how dependent we are upon the Supreme Lord. We can't even forget Krishna without his help. Yet we think we're so self-sufficient and independent. We can't remember Krishna without his help, and we can't forget Krishna without his help. This is the real meaning of dependency, marginal potency. Now what happens? Lord Chaitanya is describing the inner workings of devotional service in terms of desire. He says, when someone engages in Lord Krishna's devotional service for the satisfaction of the senses, and instead acquires a taste to serve Krishna, he gives up his material desires and willingly offers himself as an eternal servant to Krishna. So this is going to be the goal of your development in bhakti. You're going to willingly offer yourself. I want to be an eternal servant of Krishna. Willingly. Not doing it out of just, I don't want to suffer anymore, so yeah, what the heck, I'll do devotional service. I'm tired of material life, so all right, I'll serve Krishna. No, that's just seeking relief from distress, mainly. But what Lord Chaitanya is saying here is, when you get the Krishna rasa, the taste of service to Krishna, then willingly you give up your material desires. Forget that. I want to offer myself as Krishna's service, as Krishna's servant, eternally. That's what happens when you render service to the Lord. You forget your material desires. You've tasted the charanamrita, the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, and that induces forgetfulness of material desires. So please meditate on the actual achievements you get from serving Krishna. Your material desires will be forgotten as you acquire a deeper and deeper taste for that service. And Krishna, he knows what he's doing, how to transform you. What does he say? Actually, this verse in the Bhagavatam, it's spoken by the demigods. And the demigods are expressing their desire to take birth in Bharatvarsha, in India. So, the demigods have spoken that Krishna, what he does is, you may have a material desire, Krishna will fulfill that desire in bhakti, but he'll do it in such a way that you won't ask him anymore to fulfill further desires. This is a personal transformation done by Krishna. And as you look back in your devotional service, as the years go by, you're going to be able to see this. Now, right now, you may not recognize your material desires. But as time goes on, if you remain true to bhakti yoga, you'll be able to look back and see how you actually had material desires mixed in with your devotional service, and Krishna fulfilled those desires in such a way that you forgot about them. But give yourself some time to see that. Now, that doesn't mean 2 years. The glory of a career in Krishna consciousness is that as the years go by, one decade after another, I know it's hard for some of you to think of that, decade after decade doing devotional service. But as those decades roll by, you'll be able to see how Krishna handled your material desires so that you'd forget them, so that you wouldn't petition him again and again for the same thing, and you'll be very grateful. And then you'll feel so attached to Krishna. You're so expert. You're so mystical. You handle my desires in such a wonderful way. And you'll be so grateful. The example that Lord Chaitanya gives is Dhruva Maharaj. He was determined to get something. I want a better kingdom than my father, Uttanapad. I even want a better kingdom than my grandfather, Brahma. That's practically impossible, but he wanted it. He asked his mother, how do I get these things? The mother said, I've heard, great sages have told, that you go to the forest and find Vishnu, you'll get all your desires fulfilled that way. Vishnu is more beneficial and compassionate than millions of mothers like me. What can I do for you? I'm not the king's favorite wife anymore. I'm not your father's favorite wife. What can I do? But I know someone who is more merciful than millions of mothers like me. You're coming to me crying. You've been insulted. What can I do? All I can do is point you in the right direction. Go to Vishnu. So Dhruva Maharaj replied, Vishnu? Okay, where is he? How do I find him? The mother said, oh, I've heard. He's a simple lady. I've heard that from the sadhus, Vishnu, you go to the forest to find Vishnu. Dhruva was gone into the forest. So determined at 5 years old or so. Narada Muni took note of this. Narada Muni was not there in the palace when Dhruva was insulted. He did not witness directly the insult. How would you like it if you were a little kid and a woman told you, stop trying to climb on your father's lap. You're the son of the wrong wife. If you want any hope, you should perform severe austerities for countless births. And then if you're lucky, you'll take birth from my womb. Can you imagine? Hey, can you remember that? So these were the words that just shattered Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted revenge. He wanted superior power. And Narada Muni approached him in the forest. Because when you have a desire to serve Krishna, Krishna sends you guidance. Krishna sends the spiritual master. So Narada Muni approached Dhruva and told him, what are you doing here in the forest? Dhruva explained the circumstances. Narada Muni said, what's the big deal? Insult, honor, dishonor, fame. These are all the dualities of material existence. Just forget about it. You're so young. But of course Dhruva couldn't forget it. And Narada then said, all right, if you are not an ordinary five-year-old boy, an ordinary five-year-old boy, if you insult such a boy, he won't care. I'm sure adults, you've all done this. You've jokingly insulted a young child, and the child doesn't know what to say, just laughs. You're like, oh, you're so foolish. And the child just, ah. So Narada recognized, Dhruva is not reacting in this way. He's conscious enough to understand prestige and an assault on his prestige. That means he's developed in his consciousness. All right, Dhruva, you're developed in your consciousness enough to understand an attack on your prestige, so then why can't you understand that you should be indifferent to all these things? But Dhruva said, I'm sorry. You're telling me the truth, but I can't handle it. I'm not ready for that now. I want the kingdom. Better than my father, better than my grandfather. How do I get it? So, Narada Muni engaged him in devotional service, told him to sit in meditation in Madhuvan and chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, 12-syllable mantra. So by the skill of Narada Muni, Dhruva's desires were transformed so much that when his meditation reached its culmination, he saw Lord Vishnu, and he said, Swamin katatosmi varam nayache. Upon seeing you, my Lord, I'm so satisfied. Just with your darshan, I don't want any material benediction. I was searching for a broken piece of glass. Now I've got the Divya Ratna, the divine jewel. I don't want anything else. And then Dhruva began to lament. Very beautiful prayers in the fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj's lamentation. I have that person who can end the cycle of repeated birth and death, but my intent in worshipping him was simply to get things that would perpetuate the cycle of repeated birth and death. What a fool am I. So let us meditate on the transformative power of devotional service. Don't get this helpless feeling, oh, I've got these desires, oh, what will happen to me? If you remain true to the process of bhakti, those desires will be transformed personally by Krishna. Just like for a devotee, Krishna personally minimizes your karma, your karmic reaction. You can't actually say that a devotee is suffering karma. As Lord Brahma explains, karmani nidahati kinchu cha bhakti vacham govindamari purusham tamaham jami. The Lord personally administers something to a devotee, which seems to be like karmic reaction, but it isn't. Because karmic reaction is dispensed by the laws of nature. Daivi prakriti. Karmana daiva netrena. The daiva netra, the laws of nature, they distribute the karmic reactions. But what Krishna does for a devotee is he personally gives something that's minimized. It's not exactly karma, it's a personal dispensation by the Lord. He gives you a little bit of suffering so that you won't forget the realities of material existence. This is what the Lord personally does for his devotee. And also the Lord transforms the material desires of the devotee. Krishna does, he deals with you in such a way that your desires are fulfilled in a way that you won't ask for anything more. And gradually you'll find, I am, through devotional service at Krishna's lotus feet, I'm forgetting my material desires. I just want the Krishna rasa, the taste, the flavor of Krishna's service. I want the charanamrita, the taste, the nectarian taste of the lotus feet of the Lord. This is what happens. Therefore, once again, the conclusion is, firmly engage in devotional service. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Krishna is the master psychologist, the master magician. Now, have you ever tried dealing with your material desires on your own? How successful are you? Who here has been happy dealing with your own material desires your way? Anyone? At first you get a bit proud, right? I'm doing it my way. My desires, I'm going to fulfill them in my way. Then when I'm finished that, I'll come and serve Krishna. As if your way is superior. No one has been satisfied or happy in that way. As soon as you say, my way, you suffer. Instead, say, Krishna's way. Krishna, you act. You set into motion your process for dealing with my desires. And then you'll see success. There is light at the end of the tunnel. If you let things happen Krishna's way. He'll transform your material desires. He's expert at changing a sakam bhakta into an akam bhakta. Please understand that. Any questions? Yes. You have to remain firmly absorbed in devotional service according to the style of your ashram. Then the therapy can act. But if you jump out of the boat of bhakti, you're just left face to face with your own material desires without the magic of Krishna to deal with them. You want to remain attached to the lotus feet of the Lord. Nijapada Pallavam, his own lotus feet. Those lotus feet have flavor. When you come into the temple during the day to meditate on the deity, your meditation, as we said yesterday, begins with the feet. Understand that those feet have flavors. Amrita, charanamrita. They have a nectarian flavor. They have fragrance. The fragrance emanating from those lotus feet cause the four Kumaras to forget about their desire for Brahman liberation. Tasadavinda nayanasya padadavinda. They smelled the saffron and lotus dust and tulsi leaf aromas coming from the feet of the Lord, and their whole consciousness changed. So you can just meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. You can come in during the day. Your office is still upstairs. You can come down and just, when will I smell those tulsi leaves and saffron mercy dust particles? When will I taste the nectar, the charanamrita flowing from those feet? And you'll find your consciousness will be uplifted. This is Krishna Bhakta goal focusing. Very important for career success, to focus on the goal. Anything else? Yes.
What is the first part of the verse? Let's talk. The first part of the verse, does it talk about the four types of devotees? Lotus, Krishna, and Chaturvedi. So, does it talk about them? The first part of the verse, where whenever Krishna is interested, he feels consciousness there. He does it so that he does not own it again.
Yes. A true devotee has no desire except to serve Krishna. Now in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord does explain that if someone comes with the desire for spiritual knowledge, that's the most advantageous situation. Still, Krishna says he can deal with the others also. They're all sukriti. They all have auspicious merit. How many of you here, have I asked before? How many of you came to Krishna consciousness mainly because you were seeking profound knowledge? Mainly. Raise your hands. 1, 2, 3. You just wanted knowledge. I've got to understand the deepest knowledge of existence. Just 3. How many of you came because you were curious about psychic things, mysterious things, occult things? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many of you came to Krishna consciousness for better economic circumstances? Huh? Really? Huh? How was that? Huh? No, better economic circumstances. Economics means money. No. Well, some people come, they sell paintings, and then later they realize, why am I selling paintings for Krishna? I should do this for myself. So actually, they get, you know, they get their desire fulfilled for economic prosperity. Unfortunately, if you forget Krishna in the process, it's a great tragedy. How many of you came because you were distressed, fried out with material life? Raise your hand. Did everyone raise their hand? Malachi, what category were you in? Which? Anyone else? Who didn't raise their hand? What? Yes? Oh. Knowledge. All right. But you were with Aniruddha. How could you be distressed? He came out of distress. So, generally it's like that everywhere in the world. I ask this question. The vast majority of devotees say they came pressed by distress. In any case, Krishna will fulfill your desires in such a way that you'll forget these desires. You won't bug him, so to speak, again and again. You'll become so caught up in the flavors coming from his lotus feet through service, and you'll start to forget your material desires. Have you ever noticed sometimes you may become even a little frightened that you're forgetting your material desires? Does that happen to some of you? What's happening to me? I'm forgetting my hankerings, my lamentations. Well, I don't know. This could be too strange. Yes? You notice that's happening? I see it happening amongst persons who take up Krishna consciousness. They get to a certain point and they get a little frightened. I'm losing myself. I don't have those same material desires anymore. This is lack of trust of Krishna and lack of understanding how Krishna does things with his devotees. Remember, the Lord transforms your desires. You're not left on your own to cope with a burden of material desires. That's your great fear. I'll be carrying this burden all my life with no help. No one understands. Krishna, he's just having his pastimes. He doesn't really, you know. What is he doing to help me carry this burden? Tivrena bhakti yogena. Sukadeva Goswami advises, just serve Krishna with great intensity and depth, and you'll see how Krishna is dealing with you. But if you drop your devotional service, this is the main mistake devotees make. They slack off on their bhakti. Regardless of what ashram they're in, they're all different styles, according to your ashram, of how to slack off on your bhakti. So, this is what we do. And then we're left to carry the burden of our material desires alone, and we become crushed. The first symptom of maya is when you start thinking, I've got to sort this out myself. These are my material desires, my possessions. No one understands, except a few of my mates who agree with me. They understand. Anything else? Yes?
Maharaj, you were saying that Guru Maharaj was a little boy, and then other boys also get insulted, they react the same way as Guru Maharaj, and you know, they don't get so, you know, so determined about being insulted. And also, when we see ourselves sometimes, some of us get the kicks from the material world, but they react very positively.
Mode of ignorance. Things today are a mixture of passion and ignorance. In passion, you strive very hard to get something. And then because of ignorance, you can't even see that you're being defeated. Parabhavastavadabhujajato, Lord Vrishabhdev explains. The natural result of material activities is defeat. But you can't see. Really, the only way you can see partially is in the mode of goodness. The mode of passion, especially the mode of ignorance, doesn't allow you to see. Therefore, what do people have to do at the end of the work day, and especially on weekends? They must become intoxicated. They want to forget. Is this starting to happen now in the Indian community? Taking to drinking? Yes, that's the Western way. Work hard, and then on the weekend forget all about it by drinking. I was talking to at a program at the University of Manchester in England, and there was one lady there, she was studying to be a doctor. And so I was asking everyone, what do you do on the weekend? She says, well, what do we do on the weekend? Friday night comes, we go to a pub, we party, we drink. What happens, happens. With whoever, you know, but the main thing is you have a good time. I said, but the next morning, aren't you in pain from the hangover? She said, yeah, that's true, but so what? It was all worth it. You had a few hours of release. This is the standard of happiness that they want. Happiness is actually forgetfulness. They want to forget their problems, and they call that happiness. They're willing to pay the price of having a splitting headache for a couple of days, but I had a few hours of freedom. Some high school girls in New Zealand were telling me that after a frantic weekend, night of intoxication, a cool thing is when you wake up and you don't understand how the person next to you got there. Then you go to school on Monday morning and tell all your friends, how did you realize what happened to me Saturday? I don't know how it happened. I woke up in the morning and there he was next to me. How did he get there? Then all the girls start giggling. Cool. It's true. They were telling me this. You feel like kind of honored. Another older lady she was going to a prestige school in the USA, one of the elite schools, a small school, Haverford College, you call it college, high school here, but their college is, So she said what they do before every class graduates after the fourth year, they have a big gathering of all the graduating students, a big session in which they all tell each other the stupid things that each other did when they were drunk during their years at school. And everybody kind of like, it's like a badge of notoriety. You know, you actually feel proud of yourself. I really did that. Everyone laughs, and the ones who did the most notorious things feel great honor. Really? I was with 10 men that night? I have no memory of it. Everyone just laughs and cheers. Ah, you were really out of it. Ah. It's top level school. Future leaders of the world. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? Now, what are you going to do growing up, maturing, aging in this kind of world? That you have to think about. So already, you're saying, in the Indian community, this drinking is coming. Yes. Work hard and drink. That is Western civilization. Work hard like a dog, drink, and forget it all. Anything else? For any devotee, as soon as you take shelter fully of the process of devotional service, Krishna's personal care begins. That point is made in the Bhagavatam and purport. Krishna doesn't wait for you to become advanced devotee. As soon as you fully take up the process of devotional service, Krishna's personal care begins. But naturally, in any personal relationship, the more you become attuned to Krishna, the more Krishna will reciprocate with you. So things just get sweeter and sweeter. Nevertheless, from the very beginning, the personal care is there. That's why Prabhupada explained, if a devotee cuts his or her finger, she should think, ordinarily, you should have lost your head. But Krishna minimized the reaction. An advanced devotee thinks, whatever distress has come to me is due to my own sinful reactions. It may not be so. It may be just that Krishna has some personal desire for it to make something happen a certain way. Just like Prabhupada. Of course, a special example. He said, according to his astrology, he was meant to be one of the richest persons who ever lived in India. So his plan was, when he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada said, immediately he took the order of the Guru in his heart. So he was always thinking how to execute that order. And his plan was, he said, he would make a lot of money and then spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Because he had seen so many imitation sadhus, beggars, and he said, things are never going to happen this way. Money is needed. So his plan was to make a lot of money and then use that to spread Krishna consciousness. Then he explained that he and Krishna had an argument. He wanted to do it as a rich man, and Krishna wanted him to do it as a poor man. So the result was, he came to the USA in elderly age with a few dollars in his pocket. That was the result of the argument. Krishna won. Very intimate explanation. He said, Krishna and I had an argument. There was no question of not fulfilling the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. No question of that. But just how to do it. He said, the Lord and I had an argument. I wanted to do it as a rich man. Krishna said, you do it as a poor man. And then I'll give you everything. We were explaining yesterday about Sudama Vipra as he was walking back from Dwarka to what he thought was going to be his shack. He was praising the Lord. You didn't give me anything. You knew that any little wealth would make me fall down. How great you are. So then Sudama Vipra quoted a verse also spoken by Lord Chaitanya in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Who am I? Just the sinful friend of a Brahmana, Brahmana Bandhu. Who is he? Sri Niketan, the source of all opulence. Yet, that Lord, Bhagavan, has embraced me. So he considered himself to be poor due to sin. I'm a sinful, poor friend of a Brahmana. My condition is due to sinful reactions. But actually, he's Krishna Sakha. He's a friend of Krishna. But he's just thinking that way. It's all due to my sinful reactions. A devotee thinks like that. Anything else?
You said you engineer your association. Sometimes if you want to make somebody a devotee, you have to go to material side and try to catch them, to make them a devotee.
So material side to do what?
If you want to make somebody a devotee,
yes,
then you have to go into the material world to pick them up.
Yes, we are doing that.
So can you really engineer your association?
Yes. While you're going into the clutches of Maya to rescue someone, you always think, this is Krishna's work. I'm the servant of Krishna. I'm to give my association, but not take their association. As soon as you start taking, then you get in trouble. You give your association. Therefore, the Shastra explains, when you meet someone who's less advanced than you, you show them compassion. You try to uplift them. When you meet someone who seems to be on the same level as you, you're friendly with them. And when you meet someone more advanced than you, you're very jolly and happy and want to assist them. Ladies, any questions? So now everyone has I hope that you have a clear idea on Krishna's transforming powers in terms of dealing with material desires. The mistake is you just go off on your own. I'm going to deal with this myself. That's the mistake. And you give up your service. Then all the magic of the situation departs. And you're left carrying the burden of your material desires, and there's no way you're going to win. You must stay absorbed in devotional service. Then Krishna works his wonders. Krishna says, as Lord Chaitanya explains, okay, you're serving me with material desires. You're so foolish. It is condemnable to serve the Lord with material desires. Nevertheless, still go on serving. That is the injunction of the Shastra, even though it's foolish. So Krishna says, all right, you're a fool, that's all right. Go on serving me and I'll arrange that your desires are handled in such a way that you'll get over the disease. That is bhakti yoga. But as I said, you know the mistake that is made so often. I've got material desires, I've got to sort this out on my own, I've got to go through it. As if there's some kind of special honor for shouldering the burden of your material desires and suffering. In Wellington, one devotee, she's in her 20s, so her old mates from her material life came to visit her. You know, they were ladies in their mid-20s. So they came in to the loft, Gaur Yoga Center, looking so miserable. And they began to tell her, we're so miserable, we're suffering so much. And it was obvious, you could see it. But then they began to criticize her. But you ran away from it all. We are superior. In other words, we're going through it. We're going through the suffering. We're embracing the suffering. But you ran away from it all. You may think you're happy, but you know, we're doing the real thing. We're going through the suffering. You ran away from it. They actually said like that. So sometimes devotees think that the best way to deal with their material desires is to shoulder the burden themselves, make the partition on the hard drive, you know. It'll just be me and my material desires. Krishna will be way over there. And I'll have these material desires to cope with my way. And then they get crushed. Because you can't handle your own material desires. Krishna is Yogeshwara. He handles it if you engage in his service. So please remember that. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.